Welcome to the earnings call of Nemetschek Group. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the conference, please press the star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Stefanie Zimmermann, VP of Investor Relations, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and hello everyone and a big welcome. Thanks for joining our earnings call today to discuss the results for the third quarter 2022 with us. With me today are our CEO, Yves Padrines, and our CFO, Axel Kaufmann. Today's conference call is being recorded. A replay of the call will be available at our website after the call. Additionally, you will find the report, the presentation, and the press release on our investor relations website as well. But now, let's get started. I would like to turn over to our CEO, Yves. Go ahead, Yves.
Thank you, Stefanie, and welcome from my side as well to the Nemetschek Q3 and 9 months 2022 earnings call. As usual, we have prepared a short informative slide deck that our CFO, Axel Kaufmann, and I would like to briefly walk you through so that we have enough time for your questions at the end. So let's start with an overview of the key business highlights of the third quarter 22 on page 3. In Q3, we continued our double-digit percentage growth in revenue and earnings. From July to September, our revenue increased by almost 20% to 203 million euro, driven by the strong performance of our build and media segments, which grew by 31% and 37% respectively. In addition, we once again enjoyed a substantial FX tailwind of almost 800 basis points, thanks to the stronger US dollar. In line with recent quarters, the main driver was once again the dynamic growth of our recurring revenues. This impressive development is also reflected by our new KPI, ARR, the annual recurring revenue of our business, which is an important indicator that the group's future revenue and cash flow growth potential. With an increase of 29% and almost 22% on a currency-adjusted basis, our ARR grew almost twice as fast as our total revenue. With recurring revenue becoming an ever more important part of our business, this ARR, industry standard KPI, is providing a higher degree of visibility and transparency during our transition journey to a subscription and SaaS-based company. The reported EBITDA growth to almost 63 million euro corresponds to a margin of 31%, a continued high level despite a return to normal levels of traveling and trade fair spending, and in addition, we're able to accelerate again our hiring in the recent months. Looking at the bottom line, our earnings per share increased to 34 cents per share. Moving on to page 5, you can see an overview of the most important financial highlights after the first three quarters of the year. In summary, we had an outstanding first 9 months with record results. Our revenues increased by 21% to almost 600 million euro, mainly driven by a very strong subscription growth of 58%. In line with our high top-line growth, our profitability showed a very good development as well with an EBITDA of 201 million euro, a plus of 26% year over year, which corresponds to a margin of 33.6%. Both figures mark new records for the Nemetschek Group after the first 9 months of the year. In addition, we were also again able to further increase our already solid balance sheet with an increase in the net cash position to 120 million euro, as well as an improvement in the equity ratio. I will now hand over to Axel, who will dive a bit deeper into the important aspects of our financial results.
Yes, let's do so. Thank you, Yves, and a warm welcome also from my side to our third quarter earnings call. On this page number 6, you find the development of our four segments during the first 9 months of the year. Starting on the left side, The design segment recorded an increase in revenues of 11.5% and 7.7% on a currency-neutral basis, with showing Q3 in a slight deceleration in growth and prolonged sales cycles in some pockets of growth in Europe. Looking at the profitability level, we were able to expand the already high margin of the previous year by another 40 basis points to now 33%. We're very pleased to see the very strong growth in our subscription and SaaS revenues of 60%, a clear sign that the acceptance and preference for subscription solutions continue to increase also among our customers in the design segment. This bodes well for our long-term growth. A main growth driver during the first 9 months of the year was again our build segment, which mainly targets construction companies in the US and German-speaking countries. Bluebeam was once again the largest contributor, helped by a continued strong growth in the US, but also by its successful internationalization strategy. For the whole segment, this translated into a significant growth of 32.8% on a reported basis and still 22% at constant currencies, while the profitability stayed at record levels. In addition, Bluebeam successfully, as Yves mentioned, proceeded with its long-awaited subscription and SaaS transition in the third quarter in line with our internal plans. Our media segment continued its stellar performance in the third quarter again, which resulted in a record growth of 51.4% on a reported and 44% on a currency-adjusted basis after the first 9 months of the year. Maxon's growth was supported by Pixelogic, remember, the provider of the world's leading sculpture software, ZBrush, which was acquired end of last year. The strong growth is accompanied by a substantial margin uplift of more than 5 percentage points. Last but not least, in Manage, by far our smallest segment with less than 6% of group revenues, we saw a continuous cautious investment behavior by some of our customers. We continue to strongly believe that the promising long-term growth potential for this segment remains unchanged. That's why we reinforce the segment's leadership with Cesar Flores Rodriguez as the new Chief Division Officer, as we call it. He will particularly focus on the topics go-to-market, growth acceleration, and cross-selling. Additionally, Cesar will oversee the new business unit for Digital Twin and drive the development of an open cloud-based Digital Twin platform. Let's move on to the next page, number 7. As you all know, one of our main objectives, and as always, it has been an important discussion point, is our goal to increase the share of recurring revenues. As you can see on the right-hand side, we're once again successful in our efforts and recorded an overproportional growth across the different KPIs for our recurring business. Our reported recurring revenues grew in the third quarter in line with the first 6 months of the year and recorded a very strong increase of almost 30%. In line with the previous quarters, the revenues from our subscription and SaaS offering with a plus of 58% were once again the main contributor to this development. In addition, our newly introduced KPI ARR, as Yves already mentioned, which includes all of our different various recurring revenue streams, so subscription and SaaS sales as well as maintenance contracts, also increased by almost 30%, a strong indication for the continued high growth potential of our business in the next 12 months. This high growth translates into an increase of the share of subscription and SaaS revenues by 6 percentage points year over year to now 25%. The total share of recurring revenues, so subscription and SaaS, along with our maintenance contracts, now accounts for almost two-thirds of our total revs, a new record for the group. With the start of subscription transition of our biggest brand, Bluebeam, the share of recurring revenues will continue to substantially increase in the coming quarters and years. To conclude the review of our 9 months figures, we here provide an overview of our most important P&L, balance sheet, and cash flow position as on page number 8. We have already addressed our main P&L KPIs, revenue and EBITDA, in detail. However, going further down the P&L, you'll notice that our EBIT and earnings per share increased somewhat over proportional during the first 9 months of the year, and that even despite a return in Q3 to pre-COVID levels for traveling, trade fairs, as well as accelerating in hiring. Our earnings growth and the increased internal efficiency is therefore reflected throughout the entire income statement and results in a 32% increase at the earnings per share level. Looking at our cash flow development after the first 3 quarters of the year, you'll notice that the increase is a bit smaller than usual. The main reason, however, for this is a new U.S. law which mandates mandatory capitalization of R&D costs just for the tax balance purpose, which in turn leads to significantly higher tax prepayments. If you adjust for this effect, which according to the mechanics of how this works will to a large degree reverse in the future, the underlying growth of cash is more in line with our profitability. Last but not least, we improved the quality of the balance sheet once again, represented, and Yves mentioned this already, an important metric such as the equity ratio, which is now at a record high of 57% compared to 51% last year, and a net cash position of more than 120 million euro. Therefore, our extremely, probably the best solid balance sheet and virtually no debt we ever had provide us with a high degree of safety and flexibility going forward. And with that, I'd like to hand back to Yves.
Thank you, Axel, for the details of our financial results. And before we come to the end of our presentation with the outlook for the financial year 2022, let me give you an update regarding the highly anticipated start of the subscription transition of our brand Bluebeam. In short, the rollout in Q3 went exactly according to our plans, and we are very happy to announce that starting from last quarter, new customers are only able to buy one of our different subscription packages, which I will present to you in a minute. But to start, let me briefly introduce our new Bluebeam Cloud solution, which is on page 10. One of the guiding principles for the subscription transition is the following. We first add more value to our products before we start a mandatory subscription move. This was also one of the main success factors of our highly successful Maxon transition to subscription, and we applied the same strategy in the case of Bluebeam. We are therefore proud to announce that Bluebeam reached a milestone in its corporate history with the rollout of Bluebeam Cloud. Bluebeam Cloud is a new product suite which consists of cloud-based and mobile applications which make it possible for teams on construction sites to interact and access important data and work from anywhere, including from their mobile devices. To name just a few of its key features, apart from the new real-time collaboration capabilities, Bluebeam, new project and construction management tools, will also allow our customers to manage an entire construction project from start to finish. In addition, the kind of Google Maps, if you want, for construction sites, so the ability to map your plans to global GPS is a powerful tool, especially for large infrastructure projects. We introduce this new Bluebeam Cloud solution offering at our annual XCon conference, which happened end of August in San Diego, which is Bluebeam's flagship conference, which was attended by over 1,000 customers. The initial feedback from customers are very positive, and the different cloud features are an integral part of each of the three product packages, which you will find on the next page. So on page 11, you can see these three structured subscription product tiers. Each of the packages consists of a combination of Bluebeam's desktop flagship product review, as well as a varying range of the existing new cloud features that I just presented. These different packages are not only helping us to specifically target different customer groups, but also enable us to grow our Bluebeam revenues per customer even after the initial sale was made by upselling a higher tiered product. Lastly, if you compare the price of our new subscription package with Bluebeam legacy license product, you will recognize that the subscription package accounts for roughly 50% of the old license price. That compares to an industry average of between 35 to 55%. Another indication of the substantial value we added with the introduction of Bluebeam Cloud. Moving on to page number 12, Bluebeam subscription and SaaS transition progressed exactly as planned with a phased rollout of the subscription offering over the course of Q3. As of September, all new customers only have the option to buy subscription while we offer existing customers, especially the large one, few months up to a year transition period when purchasing new seats. The customer feedback continues to be very encouraging, and the interest in our new subscription offering is high, as a strong evidence by different indicators such as website traffic or number of trial downloads. Apart from our continued marketing initiative to attract new customers, in the next step, we will also intensify our focus on the migration of existing customers via specific incentives programs. So to summarize, everything is going according to our initial planning, and we continue to be very confident that this transition will be a strong success. Moving on to page number 13, recently there have been a lot of discussion about a potential recession in 2023. While Nemetschek will certainly not be completely immune in the case of a global recession, we strongly believe that we can be much resilient than other companies and other industries. I would still like to use this opportunity to highlight how well diversified and resilient our business has become over the last few years. As the chart nicely illustrates, you can see that we have a well-diversified portfolio across different end markets and regions. In addition, with the operational expansion along the entire life cycle of the building, the Nemetschek Group has become less dependent on a single customer group or segment. In this case, design, which currently accounts for only 47% of our business. The rapidly increasing share of the media segment further diversifies our business due to the exposure to an industry with a completely independent business cycle versus the ACO industry. In this call, we have already discussed the perhaps most important development in the recent years, the strong increase in the share of our recurring revenues. Along with our high customer retention rates, this revenue provides a more stable and better planable revenue stream even during more challenging economic conditions. I believe that based on our high profitability as well as our extremely strong balance sheet, the Nemetschek Group is in an excellent position to take advantage of potential emerging opportunities in the coming months and years. And now, as we come to the end of the presentation, I would like to turn to our 2022 outlook, which is on page 14. With a very successful first 9 months of the year already in the books, we continue to be very confident to achieve our outlook for the current year. We therefore fully confirm all of our financial targets for the fiscal year 2022, despite the increasing uncertainty regarding the global microeconomic environment. In particular, this means that from today's perspective, we expect a revenue growth at constant currency in the range of 12 to 14% for the financial year 2022. In addition, we target an EBITDA margin between 32 and 33%. Let me just highlight why we are so confident in our business and in our ability to achieve our set goals. First of all, we see that especially in the currently challenging environment, the efficiency shortcoming of the construction industry and real estate sectors are becoming more visible than ever. Digitalization and the usage of intelligence software solutions across a building lifecycle are essential requirements for making the construction more cost-efficient and less resource-consuming, and therefore ultimately ensure the survival of a construction company. This need will lead to a continued demand for solutions. Secondly, as I have just highlighted, the Nemetschek Group business has become much more resilient and better planable over the last years based on our well-diversified portfolio. And lastly, based on our various optimization initiatives, investments in highly innovative startups, but also M&A activities in the last few years, as well as leadership in the latest technological trends such as digital twin, all of these demonstrate the Nemetschek Group ambition to not just participate in these markets, but to continue to be a market leader and to shape the industry with our best-in-class solutions. And with that said, I would like to thank you for your attention, and we are now happy to take your questions. So, operator, Please back to you.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question of our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask your question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel. So once again, that's 01 to ask a question or 02 if you need to cancel. Our first question comes from the line of George Webb at Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Afternoon, Eva, Axel, and thanks for the presentation. A few questions to kick off with. Firstly, just drilling into the demand environment for the design business. Overall group licenses down 6% in Q3, constant currency. In Germany, growth rate only 2%. I wonder if you can add some color on what you're seeing around overall demand levels and perhaps how that also trended through the quarter. And just coming on to the Bluebeam subscription transition. So firstly, we've got the subscription pricing levels for new customers, which is helpful. Can you talk about the other side of that equation and what you're expecting in terms of average value uplift you expect to see when you move a customer from maintenance to subscription? I was looking at the Bluebeam website and there's a section on there that says that you can transition existing maintenance seats to subscription for a price comparable to the current renewal rate. But I presume there will be some average uplift and keen to understand the scale of that. And then just secondly, can you talk about if there are any specific marketing strategies you're putting around the transition from here? Thank you.
Thank you, George. So on the design side, clearly there has been some hiccups, especially at the beginning of the quarter, where July was slightly lower than our expectation. But then August and September were in a higher growth than the average growth of the full quarter. So there has been a better trend and positive trend in August and September versus July. Design, clearly, the issue are some pockets in Europe, especially, where we are seeing some delays in decisions and a little bit more difficult markets. But clearly, on the design side, if we look internationally, there has been some very strong double-digit growth, especially in North America and in Asia Pacific. So we do not anticipate any deceleration on design in Q4. We believe that, we will still have something stronger. And design obviously had also some impact due to the subscription effect. There has been less perpetual license sold, and there has been better acceleration of subscription than anticipated, which is positive. But obviously, which is impacting the revenue, but of course helping on our total recurring revenue and of course in our ARR growth. So then on the Bluebeam aspect, clearly strong momentum. We see very well acceptance, as I said, of Bluebeam Cloud and also on the move to subscription. Clearly for existing customers, we will see now how this will evolve in the next few months. But we can see that with the subscription move, there is a significant higher lifetime value for them. And maybe if you can please repeat again your third question. Sorry.
Sure, that's helpful. The third one was just if you're doing anything specific around marketing strategies from here to kind of get people involved with this subscription transition or to increase the new customer acquisition?
Yeah, so there are a lot of marketing activities going on, especially online, and e-commerce is a strong focus, not only for the Bluebeam brand, but in general for all our brands. So we refreshed, for example, a lot of our design e-commerce activities the last few weeks and months to modernize, which are more modern, etc. Also, if you look at XCon, which was, as I said, this very large customer event for Bluebeam in San Diego end of August, that's something that we didn't have for almost, for 2 years during the pandemic session, which was extremely well received with a very strong positive feedback. And now there will be different marketing activities that we are launching in the course of the next few months to really also push not only new users growth for Bluebeam, but clearly helping our existing customers to move to subscription. And of course, there will be also case by case, because if you look at, you know, remember, one third of the Bluebeam customer revenue is done with large customer, and sometimes very large customers, where we are talking about thousands of seats and license that they have. So obviously with them, it will be a different type of negotiation and incentives to move them to subscription than a small or medium size existing Bluebeam customer. So different type of marketing activities.
That's clear. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sven Merkt of Barclays. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Great. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. Firstly, I was wondering if you can comment on how you plan to run the business if it would enter a recession. Would you cut existing costs or maybe just new spend? Would you consider investing maybe a bit more in some areas than your peers to take share? Any color really on how you're thinking about your financial strategy in a recession would be helpful. And then secondly, media slows down in Q3 from the performance in H1, and I was just wondering if you can share what drove this. Is this just a comp effect, or have you also seen lower demand here? Thank you.
Sure. So for the moment, obviously, we need to look at any possibilities, and we are also planning potential risk for next year. But I can tell you that our main plan is to not count on a recession for our own business, and we still see some strong growth coming for next year. Because of clearly the current situation of the construction industry, and the four main challenges that they have, which, as you know, is first of all the fact that 90% of projects are either late or over budget. Second, that 40% of the CO2 global emission is due to the construction industry. Third, the fact that over 20% of material used in a construction project are wasted. But also last but not least, there is a huge issue of manpower, lack of manpower in the construction industry. And then if you take all of that and you know that for the moment, I mean, lately the average is between 2 to 3% gross margin for a construction project, at the end of the day, you know, if they don't wake up, if they do nothing, if it is still business as usual for this construction company, a lot of them will go in the red very quickly and out of business. So as we have seen during the pandemic period, there has been a 3-year acceleration of digitalization in the construction industry. We believe that if there is a recession coming up and an acceleration of that, this should help digitalization, especially, or an acceleration of digitalization, especially in the construction industry. So now, if really we see that there is a huge recession, obviously we cannot be completely immune. And then we are planning, obviously we will plan some different activities. We are not planning to cut significantly costs. Obviously, if this is needed, we will look at. But of course, we can decelerate the level of hiring and also of some investment in some areas. But we are not planning any big OPEX cost reduction or whatsoever like that.
Sven, Axel here. Just to add, I think a very good question, and Yves is right that we've seen also during Corona, it's rather an opportunity than really a downside. To your question, how we plan to run the business, I think it's crystal clear that we have a reputation. Are aiming to continue to keep that in a positive way, to very cautiously run the business overall. You know, driving on site in that kind of environment in terms of, continuing with the strategic initiatives, but then on the cost side, do everything that is necessary and maintain the margin level, definitely. I think that is what we've proven several times, and we're going well prepared with measures if we would need them in a potential period at that time, right? So continuing the strategic initiatives, continuing investing, to grow and take share, but at the same time also be careful and prepared, to be agile and potentially pivoting the plans. And then on your second question of media, maybe if we can highlight the Pixelogic impact there, right? So media, Sven, thanks for the question, because we've been spoiled over the last quarters, and the business is doing very, very well. As Yves is pointing out several times now recently, also the market is almost equally as large and the potential is there as in the classical construction software, AEC, or where we play traditionally. But here is the acquisition that we fully account into our books since the start of the year. Pixelogic, with the famous award-winning product ZBrush, and we've been realizing that there is a real opportunity to turn this into, be part of the package of what we call the Maxon One, and turn this also into subscription. So the Q3 numbers in concrete were impacted on that end a little bit. That is the main reason why the growth comes down a little bit, but still on a very attractive level in that regard.
No, clearly we have seen also a nice acceleration of Maxon One subscribers, thanks to the fact that we integrated ZBrush, so this Pixelogic, at no extra cost for Maxon customers. So Maxon One really saw a very nice growth in terms of subscription. And in terms of new users and demand, there has been no deceleration, even clearly the opposite. I mean, still a very strong demand on Maxon. So really the impact is just the fact that we acquired Pixelogic. It was a perpetual license business, even with no maintenance. And we moved completely to a subscription model now, ZBrush. So we are very happy with the performance of Maxon, which is still continuing in a strong growth. Maybe just to come back very briefly on also the recession topic, also what is clear is that our strategy, if there is a recession, we will not change our strategy in terms of a subscription move. So just to make it clear, increasing the recurring revenue is part of our strategy, even if next year we see a big recession coming up, and it's going to help us in order to become even more resilient for the future. So, and by the way, a lot of customers even prefer subscription in a downturn. So.
Very helpful. Thank you for all the details.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Andreas Wolf at Vorberg Research. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. Congratulations on the quarter. My question would be on the subscription in general. So obviously, the shift to subscription at Bluebeam helps you to upsell into the client base or increase the ARPU, if you will. Would that be a strategy that you might also consider for the future to implement new features on the client side, which might be of high value for the clients, which would then in turn help you to increase subscriptions that you generate with the clients? That would be my first question. And then also related to staff, obviously, there is more and more tech companies in the Silicon Valley that are either not hiring anymore or even laying off. And as we recall from the past, Nemetschek has had difficulties to find IT developers at reasonable prices. So does this improve your situation, and would this provide an additional boost for your innovation strengths? Thank you.
No, thanks, Andreas. So clearly on the subscription side, we are planning to launch on a regular basis new features. That's why, for example, with Bluebeam, we launched first Bluebeam Cloud. And as you know, to launch new features, it is sometimes easier, or definitely easier, to do it in a pure SaaS model with a cloud-based solution where you can add features on a regular basis, and not only, for example, once a year where you do only one new software upgrade or software releases. So this is definitely a must. That's why even with some of our design brands, some of them are already very cloud-centric, like Solibri, for example. But even if you look at Allplan or Graphisoft with Archicad, they have also hybrid solution. They have also cloud solution, like for Graphisoft, BIM Cloud or for Allplan BIM Plus, which is also going to help to add additional features on a regular basis, which is a must when you are on subscription to make sure that your customers are still continue to subscribe to your solution and that they will get benefit and new features from their monthly subscription. So, second question on the staff aspect, definitely. We were able to hire in a better way in Q3 than in H1. I think the situation is much easier now, as you stated, also because there is less competition. So, for example, this quarter we were able to acquire over and to hire over 80 new employees. So, yes, that's quite going in a very positive way.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Florian Trich of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my question. I have two questions building on topics we have already touched on. So the first is around the licenses. So I think we have seen that at other peers as well, that licenses were probably a bit weaker, but at the same time, clients were obviously willing to go faster for subscription or SaaS. Do you think this is more like a near-term reflect to limit upfront investments, or do you really think this is a start of a period of faster cloud adoption? And if so, do you have to spend more on making your product portfolio cloud-ready in that scenario? And the second is around how much you can really protect margin in a downturn, or to frame it in a different world, would you put out like a red line when it comes to profitability where you do not want to go below, let's say, 30% EBITDA, or would you go to 25, 20 if you can grow or gain market share in that context? Thank you.
So thank you, Florian. So on the licenses part, clearly, I mean, yes. There is a strong move to more cloud adoption, to more SaaS solution, and definitely to more subscription. This is a huge trend. It is a short and mid-term trend, and that's going to accelerate, especially, I think, in 2023. So it is not only us pushing our customer and our market to be aggressive to this move to transition. There is also a demand from the end user and from the market to go more for a subscription model than a license model. We can see that globally, even in markets which are more traditionally, you know, not big fans of subscription models. Now, obviously, when you do that, yes, you need to have, in terms of technology, some investment because you need to have more SaaS solution, cloud-based solution. So yes, we have still some work to be done, and there is a roadmap, and of course this is a non-stop development, as you know, in terms of engineering. But also when you move to a SaaS model, it's not only a pure engineering technology investment, it is also overall how you operate with such model, also on the operational aspect and customer success aspect, etc., etc. So yes, there are some investments needed with such move to a more SaaS and cloud company for the Nemetschek Group. Now, regarding profitability, I think definitely as you move to more subscription during this transition period, there is obviously an impact not only on revenue but also de facto on the EBITDA. It is pure mathematics. So, yes, that means that there will be probably not the definitely not the same level of EBITDA margin that we used to have, especially this fiscal year. But we are not expecting, obviously, to go with something like 20%. Or if we do so, you know, that means that we would have huge opportunities of growth, which for the moment, yes, I believe we have strong growth momentum. But so you should not expect us to come with a low margin, but for lower than where we are today, for sure. Now, of course, this is still under under work in progress to see exactly what will be the range for next year. But long term, obviously, long term, that's only, but obviously, just to make it clear, it's only during this transition period that there is an impact on the EBITDA. Obviously, while you are doing this transition, impact is on the revenue and EBITDA, but once you moved to 90-95% recurring or subscription and SaaS model, obviously long term you have very higher margin impact, which is going to be very positive for the group.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Naso Nang of Berenberg. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon everyone. Thank you for giving me the time. I've got two questions. Firstly, on the very strong subscription and SaaS performance in design, you know, 60% year to date or even over 60% year to date. I just want to understand what are you seeing as the drivers behind this preference for subscription, particularly in the design segment? Is it possibly because going into the recessionary period, customers are opting for a lower, more regular payment or IT spend that you get from the subscription deals?
Yes, definitely. So, hi Nate. So, clearly, it is more and more on demand from the end user to have subscription, which is probably, yes, the fact that some of them are afraid of the potential recession. That's one reason. And the second reason is that we pushed more aggressively our subscription model via e-commerce, e-marketing, but also, you know, we had, for example, Frilo, one of our structural engineering and analytics brands here in Germany, which started also a full move to transition to subscription this quarter, I mean, exactly in Q3, so during the summer. SIA is planning to start a full move to subscription in January. Vectorworks, as you know, which is one of our large BIM brands headquartered in the US, is planning to also do a full move to subscription in their direct markets, which are North America, United Kingdom, and Australia, New Zealand, starting from January. So that means that starting from January 1st, if you are Vectorworks customers or a new Vectorworks customers in this region, the only option will be only subscription. So to answer your question on the design, why the performance of subscription is so good, it's because of two factors. One, because we are accelerating on our side the move to subscription to becoming it more mandatory. And second, it's also because there is a demand from the end user to buy more subscriptions and perpetual license.
Thank you very much, Yves. That's really helpful. Thank you for all the information there. Well, one more question, if I may. You also mentioned about the elongation of sales cycles in pockets in Europe. Just want to get a sense of what is the extension of the sales cycles here? Are we talking in a couple of months, or is it possibly even a couple of quarters?
So for the moment, we believe more, you know, in few months. So we are not talking about quarters. That's what we are seeing. Now, obviously, we need to see how the market is evolving, but clearly depending also on the region. So it's not really, you know, the same trend in all markets. And even within a market, within a country, it is depending also on the size of the customers, and also the specialties of the customer. If the customer is only working on small residential projects, or if this customer more also working on infrastructure, on commercial, on public buildings, or if this customer is only focusing on new builds, or also on existing renovation. And as I think we mentioned to you also last earnings calls, we can see a lot of more and more demand, especially in continental Europe, for a lot of new renovation projects, especially for large buildings. And while renovation projects, it's mainly linked to energy savings activity that some companies and some people are currently working on. So overall, there are some delays, but they are not like huge delays of multiple quarters of delays, no.
Amazing. Thank you very much, Yves.
And what is also comforting us in this trend, as I said before, is that in Q3, we saw that, yes, July was weaker than we anticipated, but then, you know, it came back to something better in terms of growth, higher than our average growth for the quarter in August and September, which, by the way, it's also confirmed for the moment with October. So October is aligned with our plan as of today, you know, on design.
Did you say October is carried on the same level activities from August and September?
Yes, we are having a good trend for October, yes.
Amazing. Thank you very much, Yves. Really
overall and also in design. So it's as expected as we planned.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Deepshikha Agarwal of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. So first one is basically on top-line growth outlook for FY23. We just wanted to get a sense from you, especially like there is, you know, increase, a transition in design, as you just highlighted, in the brands, especially like you have Vectorworks coming in the beginning of the next year. Then you have the pockets of macro slowdown, and then you have Bluebeam transition, going full swing in terms of the transition in that year. So what do you think, how are you thinking in terms of growth there? Then a second one is basically on Bluebeam. When existing customers will shift to subscription, what kind of an uplift are you expecting to get from it? And the last one would be on cost for next year. Please, can you throw some light on how costs would trend, especially from the standpoint of spend on the cloud products that you talked about, and usual areas like areas of spend like travel, marketing, and overall hiring.
So on fiscal year 23, so this is still a work in progress. Of course, we are in the middle of our budget discussion internally, where we have obviously different scenarios in place. We will only provide such guidance as every year in our earnings call in March. So it's only in March 2023 that we will provide you that. Now, just to make it very clear, again, we are not moving 100% of our business to subscription from January. You know, obviously, if we would do so, then I will already highlight now today that, well, we are going to have a flattish term of growth for next year, which is definitely not what we are planning and not the case. So, yes, we have 25% of our business with Bluebeam, which is moving to a subscription. Now, yes, existing customers have still the opportunity to buy some perpetual license for the next few months. And in Q3 next year, they will not be able any longer to buy a subscription. All new customers for Bluebeam, especially larger customers since July of this year, and then from September also all the small customers on the website, the only option they have for new customers is only subscription. But then we are doing it in a segmented approach. So Allplan, for example, and Graphisoft, which are two very large brands that we have overall, I mean, yes, they will accelerate the move to subscription. Yes, we can already see that this year. And yes, it's going to be more accelerated next year. But it's not like we do a full migration next year of Graphisoft and Allplan. Vectorworks, it is true that it's going to be a big part of their market, a big part of their revenue, because we are talking about North America, UK, and Pacific countries, which are moving to subscription only from January 1st. But you still have, you know, all the rest of the world, especially continental Europe, which is also quite strong for Vectorworks, Japan, which is very, very strong for Vectorworks, and Asia, which we are going to move to subscription only towards the end of 23 or mainly in 2024. So it's a very segmented approach. So that's why, you know, it has been always our strategy that it's not going to be a huge bing bang for all our business to move to subscription next year. Now, regarding your questions on Bluebeam existing customers, the uplift is clearly substantial, especially in the long term. So, and then on the cost side, maybe Axel, you want to comment?
Yeah, thank you, Deepshikha. I fully understand where you're coming from, and I think the current run rates are a good indication, I would say, in terms of how we run the business overall. We've been investing by intent and to a large degree in the third quarter. Eve mentioned it in terms of hiring, but also customer events, trade shows, updating web pages, marketing, travel, all kinds of these things. There was an impact also from the currency side, given our extended US dollar-based footprint in terms of the OPEX in the meantime, how the company grew. All of that to me is a good indication. And as mentioned, we're going into, the fourth quarter and early next year, and we're not making crazy moves unless, we see the strategic intent in that sense that we're continuing the initiative there. But again, cautious, careful, the way you know us, I think we've been proven this to you and our shareholders overall, that we, drive the ship, in that direction. So cost levels overall, anything on the top line, as you mentioned yourself, is accounting in terms of deferrals, revenue recognition, subscription. But the machine room, so to say, be it those divisions we've been talking to already in this call, or the rest of the group, will be strengthened and continue going forward. So that, I think, quarter, it's also the Q4 will be a good indication for going forward. Not much of a change there, given the parameters, ceteris paribus.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Martin Jungfisch of BNP Paribas Exane. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, hi. Thanks. Good afternoon. Two questions from my side, please. First one is on design and subscription. Again, can you quantify the impact on revenue growth in design segment from the increasing shift to subscriptions and what the rough share of subscription in terms of revenue is today? And then would you expect the shift in design to become an accelerated headwind to revenue growth in 2023, or would that be similar to this year? And then the second question is on cost. You mentioned that you're working on a cloud-based digital twin platform. Could you provide some detail on the size and phasing of the development cost that we should expect for this, and what segments these should or would be allocated to? Thank you.
Okay, so the impact, the current impact on design, because of the move to subscription on the top line growth, is probably a bit over 1% around. Now, on the digital twin topic, this is something that we are currently working on. This digital cloud platform, digital twin cloud platform, is going to be an asset and data digital twin for the overall building life cycle. And we will target mainly large, complex buildings owner and people operating such complex buildings like hospitals, airports, large universities, etc. So today, where you will see such cost impacts is going to be more centralized and not really specific to a brand.
Okay, thank you.
Because digital twin is really, really a centralized solution. So it's not linked to our current existing brand. It's a Nemetschek Group cloud solution and initiative, which, by the way, is based on a common cloud infrastructure too, which all other brands we are benefiting from. So, for example, Bluebeam Cloud and Digital Twin Cloud platform are based on the same common cloud infrastructure. We are planning to have already some proof of concept and MVP toward 2023. So more news in the coming weeks and months on this topic.
Would it be fair to add, Martin, I think it would be fair to say that, like Yves was saying, on the cost side, going into such an initiative like Digital Twin, today we can use much more synergies than in the past, leverage those what we have. So on the cost side, that's going to be handleable and not dramatic. But in terms of business potential and market and customers that we address, that's actually really on top in that sense, right? So that business case looks very promising.
Yeah, but obviously there are some cost increase and incremental costs to develop such a digital twin cloud platform, which we started already this year, but the impact will be more present in 23 and beyond on the cost side.
Okay.
You had another question, Martin, or?
No, I just had a follow-up. So on the impact on subscription, can you share what roughly the share of subscriptions in design, please, today?
So it's already 15, around 15%.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Knut Vard, Baader Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. Just looking at the license decline of 6% at constant currency in the third quarter, can you give us here some more color what is due to the shift to subscriptions and what is due to the current macro woes? Also looking at the build segment, looking at your comments, which I interpreted quite positively regarding the demand momentum in the build segment, is it fair to assume that the sequential growth decline in the build segment purely reflects the transition to subscriptions? And then a final question also on Bluebeam. Can you give us some update on which packages are seeing currently the highest demand from the three that you have shared with us? Thank you.
Sure. So clearly on the design side, there are two factors. The main factor is the fact that it's a move to subscription, which was the main impact. Now, obviously, there has been some pockets, as I said, especially in Europe, where the growth was not as we expected, with some delays. And then on the build side, clearly Q3 is really linked to the transition. In terms of net new users, we still see and are forecasting a very nice growth in Q4, and we are anticipating the same for 23. Then on the Bluebeam packages, the demand is more on the mid and high tiers. So remember, we have three tiers mainly, so the basic, the core, and the complete. Basics at $250, a core at $300, and complete at $400. It's really the middle one, so at $300, which is the most popular, but also complete. So these are the two where we see most of the demand.
Excellent. Thank you, Yves.
Welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Victor Cheng at Bank of America. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you for squeezing me in. Just three questions, if I may. Just building on a question on Bluebeam, can you help us understand the actual underlying growth of Bluebeam in Q3? What was the headwind in Q3 due to subscription, and how should we think about this headwind for Q4? And then in media, did the Pixelogic shift to subscription, has that been fully complete now? So media is close to 100% subscription. Has it only started in Q3, and therefore should we expect a bigger impact in Q4? And then just to build on that point, what's the mix of media customers paying monthly versus paying yearly? So potentially monthly users have a dip in, dip out effect potentially?
Sure. So on Bluebeam first, so Q3 impact was around 2%, probably a little bit more. For the next quarters, probably the same. But it was only for one third of the quarter. So Q4 will be for the full quarter, for the 3 months. And then on Maxon, clearly, as a Pixologic move to subscription with their ZBrush products, this has an impact only for now. So Q4, we will see again a full and acceleration of the growth. And I think here we are 95% is of the Maxon business is currently on subscription. So I think we have a strong basis now in terms of a subscription transition, which is more or less concluded on the Maxon side.
Okay, thank you.
And we have one final question in the queue. That's from the line of Chandra Shiralan of Stifel. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Can you hear me?
Yes.
So just a couple of things. Firstly, I thought it took your time to get the transition to subscriptions on the Bluebeam side of things. I was quite surprised that Vectorworks is moving to subscriptions already. So I was just wondering what was the rationale for this. You see customers asking for this, or you chose a difficult macro to get this thing done? Any thoughts on that would be super helpful. And in terms of price increases, obviously we see a lot of software vendors rising, increasing prices. How do you think about price increases on the maintenance side of things and even on the license side of things? Thanks.
Sure. So on the move to subscription, clearly, I mean, as stated, beginning of the year after I joined, you know, my strategy was clearly to accelerate the move to subscription for the group, which for all the different reasons that what we talked about. We want to move to a much higher recurring revenue model. So that's why the idea was to see, you know, which brand can we accelerate this move to a SaaS and subscription model. And Vectorworks was one of the candidates, but again, you know, we did also Freelo in Q2 this year. We are doing CIA starting in January. Vectorworks, you know, as it has a strong presence in Anglo-Saxon markets, you know, where subscription is more, let's say, accepted than other markets. That's why we are starting with North America, UK, New Zealand, and Australia. And we will continue in this journey in a segmented approach also with all the brands within the next few months, quarters, and years. Then the other question, Chandramouli, was, I think, on the price increase. So here we have done some small price increase a little bit this year, but clearly the growth that we have is mainly on a new users and new seats and volumes. It's not really linked to price increase for the moment, no. We haven't done any major big price increase.
Perfect, thanks. Maybe a quick follow-up. I think it was asked previously. I just want to double check. Do you have a minimum profitability level that you are thinking of in terms of this transition? Because you're doing now multiple product transitions. How do you think about profitability through this process?
We're not communicating for the moment on a minimum EBITDA. It is on our side work in progress for the next few years to try to see how we can minimize the impact, but of course there will be an impact on the EBITDA.
Thank you very much.
We should not expect the same level of EBITDA, yes. Yes.
Thank you. And as there are no further questions at this time, I'll hand the floor to our speakers.
So if there are no further questions, I would like to thank everybody for dialing in. Thank you for your attendance. If you have any follow-up questions, please do not hesitate to contact us. So then I would like to conclude the call. Thanks again for joining.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone.
This now concludes the conference. Thank you all very much for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.